Okay, so I'm here with Dave Schrader and Thomas Ross. We're going to talk about the Persian Gulf War today, a little bit about the Vietnam War, and also the space race. So can you guys start off by giving a short description about yourself and how you grew up?
I'm Dave Schrader. I am 68 years old, which means that I was born in 1949 in Syracuse, New York. I've lived most of my life in the Syracuse area, except for about a seven-year time period when I lived just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My career has been a physical education teacher and a coach in a large school outside of Syracuse. I've been retired for 4 years, and I'm now a substitute teacher and still coaching.
My name's Tom Ross. I'm 59. Not from this area originally, from southern Indiana. Grew up, went to high school in that area, college in Kentucky. Taught school for several years in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Left, went active duty, U.S. Army. Wound up here. My wife is from the Syracuse area. Been at Baldwinsville for 25-ish years and retiring this year, and very much looking forward to that.
All right. So let's start off with the Persian Gulf War. So in your opinion, what was the cause of the war?
Well, the direct cause at the time was the invasion. Iraqi troops invading Kuwait, and to all of us, which I had to believe and still believe was the threat to our oil supplies and the general destabilization of the whole area.
And again, we talked briefly before about it. A lot of people thought about it was oil and oil prices here in America, and it wasn't. It was exactly what Coach just said. It was the invasion of a neighboring country to take their oil assets for their own. And the treatment of the people in Kuwait was, as it turned out, horrific in the long run. So it was oil-driven, but it was their personal use in Iraq is what the issue was, and obviously, you know, taking over a region.
And you were just talking about how, you know, a lot of the troops that were moved into that area didn't even know what they were going for, right?
When we happened to have been there, a lot of the folks kind of forget that the Iraq-Iran war had been going on for 8 years. A lot of the Iraqi troops that surrendered under, you know, the guidance of the U.S. forces were brought from Iran to fight the Americans and had no idea that was going on whatsoever, knew nothing about the invasion of Kuwait, et cetera. So it was very much a lack of control and communication in Iraq. They were just out for their own, I believe.
So you were in the Army. So what were some reasons you joined, and what kind of guided you to the branch of service that you were in?
My wife would probably want to know that also. I walked out of teaching one afternoon in Bowling Green, Kentucky. I drove to the Army recruiting station, spoke to the recruiter. This was in my going into my fourth year teaching, and went back the next day, joined the Army, and resigned my job, which my wife asked me if that was something we could get out of, and I informed her no, it wasn't. It was always in the back of my mind. It was just something. There was nothing going on, no patriotic theme behind it. It was just something that I felt I had to do, and I had to do it because I was at that mid to late 20s age, and it was time for me to do it, and I resigned my job and joined the Army, and off I went.
So did you do that alone, or were you with some friends, or were the people around you doing a similar thing, or were you kind of independent in that movement?
No, most of my friends were scratching their heads, similar to my wife, as to where did that come from. It just dawned on me that I really needed to do it. It was something that was in the back of my mind for a long time, and I felt that I really needed to do it, not only to serve my country, but for me. It was one of those things that it was an itch I had to scratch, and I'm 100% pleased I went and did it.
Wow, that's amazing. So we're going to get into more detail about your experience in the war in a second. But Mr. Schrader, so what was your experience on the home front side of things in the Persian Gulf War?
Well, there was complete support for all the troops and for us engaging in war with them also. The yellow ribbons, and going back to tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree song, there were yellow ribbons everywhere, not only around your trees, your house, telephone poles, mailboxes, cars driving down the road streaming them, signs everywhere, flags everywhere. The general support was just tremendous, and I can remember traveling down Route 81 to Florida and just seeing this everywhere. So it wasn't just a local thing either.
Wow. So what were those yellow ribbons? Can you go into a little bit more detail about that?
Well, there was a song, Tie a Yellow Ribbon Around the Old Oak Tree, which was, when you return, I will welcome you with open arms. And that basically, in my opinion, that's what that whole, I don't know who started that movement, the whole thing, but it was just a great way to show all the troops that we supported them, and that when you do come back, we're all here waiting for you, and we will welcome you back.
So was this similar or different to other wars, such as the Vietnam War?
Entirely different. First of all, the Vietnam War, now I was a teenager when I was in an eighth grade social studies class when I first heard anything about Vietnam. And the social studies teacher was talking about search and destroy missions and explained that to us. That war kind of crept up on us because of the escalation that we were in. And at first, no one really was paying much attention to it. All right, there's this conflict going on in this backwater country. That was the feeling. But then as it came on, by the time I'm a senior in high school, I knew of fellows that had already gone and joined the Army and Marine Corps and were serving, and now I'm really starting to pay attention to things. And then when I get into college, of course, I see the dissension on the campuses. To me, we had the different groups of, number one, there was a group that supported the war completely. There was a group that supported all the troops, but we're not sure about the war itself. I think that was the big division right there. And you did not have, like I said, that welcoming back. There were many, many people who felt that it was almost an evil thing, despite policy, that our troops went over there to fight this immoral war that we didn't belong. I myself, I supported all the troops. But I wasn't really sure of why we were there. And to this day, I'm still trying to decipher that. So those are the big differences that I saw between, and on the home front, between the two wars.
Yeah, we, in APUSH class, we talked a lot about the university protests and kind of how the students were leading that movement against the war.
We had a whole social revolution as a social revolution as a result of it, too.
So what was your opinion of the government? Because I believe Richard Nixon was kind of saying how he supported the silent majority of people who weren't protesting and who were people, you know, similar to you, that were kind of okay with the wars in some respects. Because I think what happened was, you know, he was saying that the colleges and universities were kind of giving this false, you know, perception that everything was bad. Do you agree with Nixon in that, in his opinion?
At that point in my life, I was extremely skeptical of everything that I heard and saw. Talking to some vets who came back, there were a number of them. I roomed with one when I was at Cortland State, and it was complete skepticism of anything at the time for me. Mm. That's the best I can answer that question right now. It was a very, very trying time in our country.
Yeah, definitely. So, to the both of you.
Can I add something on that real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
To work backwards, as a little bit younger than Coach, as a 9-year-old, 10-year-old, even when I first really started watching and following, there's an old show, The Huntley Brinkley Show, which was the evening news, and it absolutely, me as a kid, sickened me on how those protests, what he was talking about against the war. You know, my father's World War II, Korean with my uncles and whatnot, flag flew at our house. It was a patriotic thing, period. And that's how it was. And to watch that in the Vietnam, it was very, very unsettling for me, even as a kid. I was in Germany when I got sent to the Persian Gulf. So I didn't see this. My parents sent me pictures, photographs, newspapers. Unbelievable, overwhelming how we went. What? To know, you know, that support was going on. And I'm getting packages of letters from fifth grade classes and things. And we were just in awe. You know, it was almost being a little self-conscious at how much incredible support we were getting at that level, night and day, from the Vietnam. So we were 100% impressed with what America did and is still doing, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Wow. You know, support for the soldiers.
And if I could add in one more thing, I spoke about how the Vietnam Vietnam War snuck up on us with the escalation of it. The Persian Gulf War, we knew right from the beginning what we were getting into and what we were doing and how many troops were going and were going now. And of course, another huge difference was the coalition of countries in the Gulf War, as opposed to pretty much just us in Vietnam. So I think those big differences also helped with the our citizenry supporting the whole thing in the Gulf War too.
100% agree.
Yeah. So in a general sense, how do you think your life was impacted by, you can talk about Vietnam and Persian Gulf, you can talk about either of the two wars, or just the time period in general?
Well, I feel with the Vietnam War now, I feel it was, I think it was a mistake that we were in there for so long, supporting this very corrupt government, which South Vietnam was. I lament the losses of the people that were there. Those who even came home scarred as badly as they were. Did a stand have to be made of some sort? Yes, it did, against Russia. And I just wish that, I don't know, that some other way, or maybe not as much as what we did to commit as many people and resources. I mean, what was the, what did it last time? Almost 10 years, maybe more?
From actually 63, I believe, and it probably could be
probably the 70,
62 to 75, so about
yes.
a 12-year
yeah.
span from advisory to finish. So.
Yeah, yeah. With the Gulf War, you know, today I just, and the Gulf War, who knows, you know, what that fostered and spawned after it, as far as the unease in the Middle East and where we are today. I just hope this country someday can get out of this prolonged period of almost constant warfare that we are in.
Yeah.
Now, we still have to be a worldwide leader. I don't espouse isolationism at all. I mean, we're a world leader. That's all there is. I just hope we can do it some other way besides having to always send our young men somewhere to fight somebody else's war.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So how are your feelings of the government at this time? You guys have kind of mentioned this briefly in these past questions, but I guess just kind of give, you know, maybe a brief opinion.
I'm going to piggyback on what he just finished with real quick, is that getting out of the long terms is important, but one of the biggest problems that has happened in almost after every major conflict America was involved in was sizing down your military force and then having to size it back up because something else happened. And we've seen pretty much a pattern of worldwide conflict since, you know, the early to mid-90s with things around. I hope the government does not downsize the military, because it's very, very hard to plus it back up, train individuals, have them ready to go, rather than keeping a very strong force ready for what's going to be out there, because it's already been, you know, it's already been proven people will attack us, and we need to be vigilant and we need to be ready.
So do you think having a larger army at all times kind of promotes war in any way, or do you think that's not really related?
No, I almost think that the, you know, the old saying about a good fence makes good neighbors, and that kind of idea of having a force prepared, well trained in all facets. We have Air Force, we have Coast Guard. People don't realize how much they are involved in it. The Marine Corps, the Army, the Navy. If I left anybody out, I apologize on that. But having that entire well-rounded force and the ability to enact if need be is a good thing. Not we're going to get ready. We are ready.
Well, I concur with that very much. I think that that's a great deterrent in many places of the world. I hope it is. I think we got to carry the big stick, and if we're going to talk tough, we better have something to back it up and not leave our military hanging in difficult situations without the support that it needs as far as supply, as far as more military personnel. Because personally, I see the whole thing just continuing. And I agree very much with what Mr. Ross just said.
So you said you were in the Persian Gulf War and you received a lot of support. So, hypothetically speaking, both of you guys can answer this. If you had been in the Vietnam War, fighting over there for years, getting shot at, walking through the treacherous terrain, and you had heard news of people protesting and saying that, you know, they're being wasted out there and getting no support, what would you have done as a soldier? Would you have, you know, I know a lot of them actually did stop fighting. They protested while they were there. Could you kind of guess as to what you may have done?
You still had to get home. I mean, you know, the alternative was you didn't give up and die there. And I have talked to a number of our Vietnam vets. You still looked to the left and the right, and those are the people you had to count on, you had to trust. And getting through that and getting home, that's the only thing that meant anything. Taking care of you, taking care of your own, fight that battle on the home front when you get there.
Right,
and a lot of folks were very quiet, silent. You know, when they got back, went about doing what they were supposed to, you know, they were doing, getting a job, whatnot. But no, getting through that scenario was they needed to fight their way out of it. I think a lot of them felt that way.
Yeah.
I find it very difficult to superimpose myself into that situation. I've never been in it. I don't know how I would feel. I suppose I would be quite shocked at news of what was going on back home. I recently saw the Ken Burns Vietnam War, and one of the vets interviewed in, you know, later in life had come right out and said, "My God, this is what I'm fighting for here. People rioting in the streets and actual policemen beating them in the streets, and I'm here fighting for this." You know, it was basically what has happened to my country.
Right.
So I really can't answer that honestly, but I'm sure it was very trying.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Very
about
trying.
The police brutality and everything like that.
To be part of my side, to be part of, to see the American resurgence of that patriotism was phenomenal. But then not to see it wane, having, you know, I stayed on for 24 years total between active duty and the reserve side of the house, Army Reserve. Through the 9/11, through the Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom, and that patriotism is still going on. I noticed it yesterday in the Memorial Day parade. It's fantastic, and you know, I hope it never goes away. I hope it's there for absolute existence of our country.
So could you share with us a couple of your most memorable details while you were deployed?
Yeah, it was interesting. There was no buildup. There was no, you know, we were there. It was kind of a long journey to get there. There were no forward operation bases, so it was sort of an interesting, induction into a different, complete culture type of thing. One of the biggest, funny things I can remember doing is they had built this giant berm between Iraq and Kuwait. A berm meaning a huge earthen, 30, 40 feet high wall. And we came upon it, and I'll never forget, our executive officer, a major, was standing there pumping his arm and pointing up, and we went up and over this 40-foot-plus berm, having no idea what was on the other side. And it was that interesting pit in your, you know, almost like a competition, the pit, you know, feeling in the pit of your stomach. We got to the other side, and it was utter chaos of vehicles going everywhere. And that was the entry into Iraq. Never forget that as long as I live. It was an interesting thing. Really, it was an interesting experience all the way around. I met a lot of great people. I met a lot of coalition forces Coach talked about. It was something I was very proud to be a part of. Eating MREs for 4 months with no hot food, not taking a shower for 3 months, things like that stick in my mind, but I don't know if that's newsworthy, so we'll skirt that issue.
Can I add something on?
Yeah, definitely.
When my oldest daughter was 9 years old during the Gulf War, we walked into Mass one Sunday, and in the back of the church were names of local servicemen over in the Gulf War. And lo and behold, she picks out a name of a young man that we actually had here in this high school as a graduate and through our classes, and I knew this fellow pretty well. So my daughter wrote him a letter of support, And he sent her back a letter and thanked her so much for the support and talked about seeing camels and what the climate was like and what the people were like. And then he sent me the reality letter. And I will never forget how he told me. He was a tank commander. And he told me the first shot he watched hit an Iraqi tank. And he just watched a crewman of that Iraqi tank just propelled out of the tank when it exploded from his shot. And you could just tell that he knew he had to do his duty, but that thing was going to probably haunt him for the rest of his life.
Wow. So going forward, where do you guys hope to see America go?
Well, as I said earlier, I hope we can get out of all these prolonged conflicts. And again, I feel very strongly we have to be at the world leadership level. Our military has to be at that level in order to maintain that. And again, let's stay out of these prolonged wars that will just drain us and hopefully never, ever get back to that terrible division that we had in the 60s and early 70s.
Just the same thing, and I've mentioned it on a couple of the other questions. Number one, strong support of our military through the government in preparation, the what if something happens concept. The other one is the patriotism and support of the home front is absolutely necessary and fantastic.
All right. So do you want to add some stuff about the space race?
Oh, yeah, I would love to. I remember as a very young man watching the first, well, let me start here. I will never forget my father and I, one summer evening, we were in a diner outside of Baldwinsville, and as we were leaving, he was the owner or the cook or somebody stuck his head out and said, take a good look at the moon tonight. The Russian flag is on it. And it was stunning what that man said. And I go, Dad, he goes, yeah, they're way ahead of us. And that is when I really realized, I don't know how old I was, maybe 9, 10. And it was then that I realized that there is a space race. There really is. And what NASA did was absolutely awesome. What we did to surpass Russia, what we did to send people up there, the industry, the technology that was created, and we're still feeling the effects of it, was just awe-inspiring. And those were heroes. Those men were heroes. I remember going to Cape Canaveral / Cape Kennedy and seeing the exhibit there of either Alan Shepard's or John Glenn's capsule that he went up in. And you look at this thing that was no bigger than a VW Beetle. How did he even get into it? The walls of the thing were pencil thin. And we sent him up there. We sent him up there and we brought them back alive.
Yeah.
To me, that's just awesome. Absolutely awesome. And once again, to me, those were real, true heroes. And our country and the world has benefited from that space race right there.
Wow.
What a wonderful time that was. It was it was so exciting.
And we've both talked about the patriotism side of the house. But in that, I was younger than Coach. My parents, when we walked on the moon, my parents woke my brother and I up. I think I mentioned this to you.
Yeah.
That I can't even tell you how old I was. It was middle of the night, which could have been 10 o'clock at night because I was young. They got us up, and they had us watch that.
Yes.
But that's what went on in America.
Yeah.
It was heroes. It was, this is happening to our country. And when I mean everybody was wrapped around it, everybody was wrapped around it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't imagine. It was one of the greatest things there was. Every kid wanted to be an astronaut.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
After that, we were flying spaceships in the backyard. But anyway, yeah, it was. It was an incredible thing. And that is the same concept as the support for the military now, as well as, I truly believe, the technological advances in what we have flying in the skies, what we have on the ground, what we have in radar, what we have. So it's, I think there's a great crisscross that we probably don't even know, which is still going on, I think. So.
And And sitting there as a kid watching that round TV screw with all the tubes, vacuum tubes inside it and everything, and that actually happened.
You have to get a picture of that because we're dating ourselves in the age on that one. But yes.
And hearing that ground commander say, "Godspeed, John Glenn," and oh my gosh, could anybody have said anything like that to Columbus?
Probably
something like that. Awe-inspiring.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. I know you said you had an interesting story about JFK.
Oh, yes. Let me tell you about that. Now, I was living in Moon Township, Pennsylvania at the time, and the year before the assassination, JFK is coming to Pittsburgh. Huge, huge excitement in our building because the motorcade was coming right past our high school, and it was coming late in the afternoon. I'm playing junior high football, and our whole team went up to the guardrail on this major road going from the high school down to Swickley, Pennsylvania. We're all lined up there with our white helmets under our arms, almost standing to attention, and we're waiting. Here come the sirens. Here come the motorcycles. Here comes a couple cop cars, more than a couple cop cars, and then here come a couple big limousines, and oh my gosh, there he is. He was hanging out the window of the car, waving to us in a line there, our team. And of course, for the next month, we all argued over, he was waving to me. No, he wasn't. He was waving to me. The president waved to me. And then a year later, on that November day, when I remember starting to leave school, and there was just this buzz in the air, and something was going on, and a teacher is crying, and people are acting kind of strange, and a friend and I walk into a classroom where a radio is on, and we got the news of the assassination in Dallas. I believe that was on a Friday. Saturday, my dad, whose office, he was in the steel business, and he says, "I'm going into the office, Gateway Center. Will you come on in with me?" And I said, "Sure, I will." And it was so bizarre, so strange, at this very, very large city of a million some people just milling around, not saying a word, like zombies, just looking at each other like they needed that to look at each other. You needed to be near people after this terrible thing. Not a car horn blowing, hardly any cars moving. The pictures outlined in black crepe. It was a time where you couldn't even believe all this had happened. And then that Sunday, I'm in a religious education class, and we're watching them bring Oswald out of the jail center, and Jack Ruby walks right up and shoots him right in front of all of us in that TV. And you talk about seeing history right there in front of you and being just mind-blowing and mind-boggling. It was something. That man was a hero to us also, you know, with what he did during the Cuban Missile Crisis. His youth, his enthusiasm. It was a time when, once again, American patriotism was on the upswing. And I've always been very, very interested in what might have happened. So I have read quite a bit of conspiracy theories and, you know, whatever you might believe or think you believe, or memory, we may never find out. What a fascinating time in history, once again.
All right. Well, do you guys have anything else to add? Any last minute comments?
Nope. Great. Greatly appreciate you putting this together. It sounds like an interesting item. And good luck to you taking all of our yabbering and condensing it down into several minutes.
Good luck with that.
Thank you so much, guys.
Well, I want to thank you, Griffin, and also let me thank Mr. Ross for everything he has done for this country to keep us safe.
Thank you so
much.
Thank
you. Good luck with everything.
Thank you.
All right. It's all you.
All right.
All right.